step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You're saying to Ken.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. Seth and Sean Sports Radio on Blog Talk Radio, backsportspage.com. We are here on a lovely Tuesday afternoon in Atlanta. I believe it is the same in New York. And we are instituting a new question of the day that we'll start later in the program. But we're going to go over the next, 8 to 10 weeks with the question that we will ask you and ask ourselves is, if you are the commissioner of the major sport, and we will obviously preview next week's show in advance as to what sport we will be talking about. Today will be Major League Baseball. If you are the commissioner of that league and you have unilateral authority, no players association, no fans, no nothing, what one change would you make? So we will talk about that later in the show, but that is our new segment here. That should last us probably until football season. Hi, Seth. Okay, so I don't know why Seth's... Oh, well, he was in the lobby. Hi, Seth.
Mr. Palmer, always a pleasure. Sorry, I was taking my one-year-old out of the sun. So my son is watching PJ Masks. My father is holding my daughter. So as good a time as any for me to spend 55 minutes talking sports.
Hi, Marty. How you doing? Anyway, so, yeah. I mean, look, we have our special thing of the day, which will be, if you are the commissioner of baseball, what will you do? But we'll talk about that in a little bit. The first thing and primary thing that has happened in the last week, and it seems like every week we talk about another NBA trade. And this week, we talk about the inevitable trade, or what was the inevitable trade, of Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets, not the Miami Heat, who we thought he was going to. Would you like to roll back your comment about Sam Presti? So when I heard of the trade, and I heard that Chris Paul was traded for Russell Westbrook, but not only was Chris Paul coming back, but two first-round picks were coming back, and now Sam Presti has 16 picks in the next 10 years, including his own. Seth, I know we talked about his drafting last week, and we talked that it's been a little shaky, but look, even you and I can pick one superstar out of 16 picks. I got to think. I'm pretty impressed by him and what he's been able to accomplish. Even Danny Ainge is impressed by him. Danny Ainge is jealous.
Danny Ainge probably is jealous. And, yeah, good to be on the show as always. It is uncanny. I mean, 16 first-round picks in 8 years or something ridiculous. I'm honestly surprised the amount that came back for Westbrook. I did not see that much coming, and now they're going to try and unload Paul. Whether it's to, I'm not sure which contender really needs a point guard at this point, unless they're going to try and trade him to Miami. and see if him and Butler can make a run in the East. Because you look through the team, Toronto is not going to trade for him. Milwaukee is not going to trade for him. Philly signed Ben Simmons to a 5-year, $170 million contract. Not bad for a guy who's never made a shot outside of 15 feet. Golden State's not, Portland's not, the Lakers. I don't think have anything to offer because have no draft.
We talked about this last week. Are you really offering anything other than cap room? Because if I'm Stan Presti or I'm the Oklahoma City Thunder, I don't think I'm getting anything of value back for Chris Paul. I just want Chris Paul off my roster. 3 years and 120 some odd million dollars, and I'm $3.7 million into the luxury tax. I can't imagine that he's going to get anything of value back. In fact, he might have to give value to somebody to take that contract. One of probably first-round picks.
I don't think you're going to have to give up. I think it depends on where he ends up going. But I agree, you're not going to get substantive value for a 35-year-old point guard who's making $35 million a year. I don't know who has what to trade for. I mean, we're talking, the Lakers certainly can't trade for him. And they have to give up, you have to give up something to make the salaries match. But you just signed
Correct.
All these players. So the Lakers
Correct.
Aren't in play. The Clippers are certainly not in play. Having signed their two big guys and re-signed Beverly. Portland's not in play. I mean, New Orleans is not interested. I don't know what contender would want him.
Here's the thing. None of the teams that signed free agents can trade them until December 15th.
Correct.
Okay, so let's throw that out there. Now, that doesn't mean guys that were traded can't be traded until December 15th. This is just free agents. So they can't be traded till 6 months after they sign their agreements. So if you're looking at teams such as the Lakers aren't going to be able to make that trade, even if they wanted to make that trade, until December 15th. The Knicks can't make that trade until December 15th because they don't have, for the same reason they barely could cobble enough to get Anthony Davis, is half the salary of Chris Paul. If you look at Portland doesn't have the match with salary unless you're looking at trading Damian Lillard, which they're not going to do. So you're looking at teams that have the available cap room to do this and not either A, the cap room, which nobody has $40 million in cap room, or the accumulated salaries of players. And let's remember, half of the NBA was a free agent this summer. So if half of the NBA is free agents, that means half of the NBA can't be traded until December 15th, which leaves Miami, unless New Orleans is trading Drew Holiday, which they're not. So, or Utah is trading Mike Conley, which they're not. Rudy Gobert, or basically a franchise player, which they're not. Miami, for better or for worse, has an expiring contract in Gordon Dragic, which is $20 million. And then they have a couple of smaller guys like Justice Winslow, which is about 10, and then they can cobble a little bit more. To me, Justice Winslow is a positive coming back in any
Agreed.
Chris Paul trade. So you look at that, and you're saying, all right, if Justice Winslow is coming back, even if it's just as part of the salary accumulation, Sam Presti has to be giving up something, which has to be a first-round pick. And it may have to be two. I mean, that is a lot of salary. And the other thing about Miami is they are hard-capped, Seth. they cannot take on any more salary. So it has to be match for match. There is no additional salary that they can take on. The only other team in my head, and I have not done the paperwork on this, and maybe I'll go to the trade machine while you talk a little bit, is Detroit. Could Detroit take on Chris Paul with a trade of Reggie Jackson and some others in there? And I'm going to go do that right now in the trade machine.
Well, they, regardless of whether they could, and apparently Layla agrees, Oklahoma City is not taking Reggie Jackson back under any circumstances. He did not leave Oklahoma City on the best of terms. You know, it's because he deemed himself to, you know, he was slightly overpriced, over to say the least. And
I'll tell you, I'll tell you, they'll take Reggie Jackson back. You know why they'll take Reggie Jackson back? Because Reggie Jackson has one more year at $18 million.
Last year on the contract.
And Chris Paul has four more years at $38 million. They'll take Reggie Jackson back, even if it's just to stretch him out and waive him. So Reggie Jackson at $18 million, Tony Snell at $11 million for 2 years, and Langston Galloway at 1 year and $17 million makes that trade work. Now, is that a trade that Detroit makes? That's a whole different story. But the trade does work in the trade machine, which I'm surprised I was even able to make that. So that's a trade that can work.
The thing with Detroit is they have no guard. You have a center in Drummond. You have a power forward in Griffin. You have barely any – you're the only team in the NBA, it seems, that doesn't have any legitimate swingmen that have proven to have any substantive value. And your point guard is a guy that they can't wait to get rid of in Reggie Jackson. Would Chris Paul, at this point in his career, make them – first of all, do you really want Paul and Griffin playing together? Which, if you're Detroit, sure. I don't think you have to determine – do you want 4 years of them playing together? And on the flip side, in a severely weakened East where you have Milwaukee, Philly, and then everybody else, and both of those teams certainly are not perfect, could you go Lob City East, and could Paul get you to a conference finals? Would he be the missing piece? Now, I don't think so, but I'm just trying to think from Dwayne Casey and Detroit's point of view. Because otherwise, why would you trade? Again, why would you trade for a 34-year-old point guard who they owe $130 to $140 million at this point?
Agreed. There are a couple of other trades that I just put in here. So Charlotte can make the deal. Now, they did just sign Terry Rozier, but they can make the deal if they use Nicholas Batum. So that works. And having Chris Paul go back to Charlotte, that's a whole different story. Then you have Minnesota that can make the deal with Andrew Wiggins and Gordon Yang. But then Sam Presti is basically saying, I'm willing to take 4 years of Andrew Wiggins' max contract for 4 years of Chris Paul's max contract. Which I'm not exactly sure is such a bad idea, but That's where that stands. So there are three or four teams that can functionally take it. To your point, who would want to, and how much would Presti have to give to do it? And I think the only one where you can state that Presti would not have to give a first round pick is probably Minnesota. Because Minnesota can get out of the Andrew Wiggins deal and put in Gorgui Dieng, who they've also looked to trade, who's another 2 years, and that trade was Chris Paul, and let's say I'm trying to match up salaries so nobody takes on any money. Let's say Patrick Patterson, who has one more year left. That works. Patrick Patterson and Chris Paul for Andrew Wiggins and Gorgui Dieng. That works. That's an
except I'm pretty.
And that is. You're pretty sure what?
No, it's just. Now I forget who Minnesota didn't. Oh, Minnesota was trying to trade for D'Angelo Russell. That's it. Because I was trying to think of because
right.
Teague is their point guard, and he's done after the year, and he's certainly
correct.
Not going to be re-signed. I mean, Paul gives that team some professionalism, but I cannot imagine, you know, with the and Minnesota would love to get rid of Wiggins, but I can't
I'll tell
really
you, I just
see that. I
put Teague in the trade, and it doesn't work. I'd have to add more to Patterson from Oklahoma City, and I'm not sure there really is anything to add. That's Andrew Robertson instead of Patterson would probably work. Let's do that. So, and that would be interesting because Robertson, if he's healthy, or Dennis Schroeder would definitely work. But if Patterson is healthy, oh, no, that doesn't work. Why? I have to cut $12 million from the Timberwolves. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, maybe I don't have to put anybody in. I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure this out. Maybe I don't have to put anybody in. Don't have to put anybody in? Nope. Doesn't work either. Now I have to cut 1.6. Okay, so Teague and Wiggins don't work. For whatever reason, they don't work. So there'd have to be some massaging in there. But if you put Teague and Wiggins for Paul and Robertson. So Robertson goes to the Timberwolves, which along with Covington and Culver make them an immensely good defensive team. Paul takes over, and then you have Wiggins and Teague is on a one-year deal. So you eliminate that $19 million after next year, and you're basically trading Wiggins for Paul. I'm not sure that trade doesn't pass muster for both of those teams because Minnesota's basically capped out anyway.
In some regards, I think it does, and in some regards, it doesn't. Chris Paul is not going to play in Minnesota at this point in his career for 4 years. I just don't see it.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, I think that's really what it goes back to. Wiggins getting a new start in Oklahoma City for a team, yeah, you know, that's not really out of bounds. He needs a new start somewhere. He's been an extraordinary disappointment to Minnesota, but they still have three years left on the deal, I think.
Wiggins is 4 years left.
Oh, Glenn Taylor, what were you thinking? But you look at it.
Well, that's why I thought it might work because Paul and Wiggins actually match up perfectly, like for time-wise. But you're right. Chris Paul is not going to Minnesota. I mean, but is he going to Detroit either? I mean, that's the thing. Does it matter? Atlanta's not in the picture. Boston's not in the picture. Brooklyn, Charlotte, Chicago? Not on that timeline.
Nope.
Indiana, Miami, Milwaukee, the Knicks, Orlando. Orlando would love to have him, but again, not on the timeline. Toronto, no. Washington, no. Dallas? Oh, Dallas would be so much fun. I'd really enjoy seeing him in Dallas.
No, but I don't see
Denver. Yeah, I don't
the
see
problem
Doncic
is
doing it.
I mean, it's very simple. Nobody wants this contract. It is the
yep.
worst contract. It is, for all intents and purposes, the worst contract in the NBA at this point.
Yep.
Westbrook is what?
Yep.
Four years younger than Paul? Something like that. Where, you know, even because at that point, obviously they're overpaid, but it's subjective to the degree of overpayment. And Westbrook is still going to be an above average player for the next couple of years. Paul is not. for not, you know, not the next, not for the, not for the contract. So I don't see who trades for him. I don't see who's going to take him. I just don't. You know, maybe I'm, I know he's been talking with, that he's been meeting with Presti about this, but I just don't see it.
I put the odds of the three teams. Look, I think Charlotte is actually the best fit. I do. Because Charlotte needs a guy.
Wow.
Because right now they don't have a guy at all. I mean, you look at their roster. Seth, I'm looking at their roster. Their roster is Nicholas Batum, Terry Rozier, Bismarck Biyakabo, Marvin Williams, Cody Zeller, some McDaniels. I don't even know who the guy is. He doesn't even have a picture on NBA.com.
Who?
Exactly. He doesn't.
I knew. I didn't hear you.
Jay
said.
McDaniels. Jay McDaniels doesn't even have a picture on NBA.com. Jalen McDaniels.
Is that Wazoo McDaniels' son?
Cody Martin, who is a second-round pick this year. J.P. McCura, Shelvin Mack, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Malik Monk, P.J. Washington, R. Franks, Mikal Bridges, Willie Herman Gomez, Dwayne Bacon. That is the best name in the NBA.
It's
Dwayne
not.
Bacon. Oh,
I'll
come on.
I'll still take Ruben Boomchi Boomchi.
No, he's not in the NBA.
Although he hasn't been in the NBA in about.
I mean, if you want to go back to old names, Uwe Blob is the best name. Uwe Blob. Anybody that's named Blob, especially if they're a center, is fantastic. And Devontae Graham. Let's put it this way. The Charlotte Hornets have four guys on their roster that don't have a picture on NBA.com. And they have nobody
on
their roster.
Yeah, that says it all.
They have nobody on their roster that averaged more than 13 points a game last year. So, Chris Paul? Maybe? I mean, could you do any worse?
The only reason I can see Paul going to Charlotte is that that's where he's from, North Carolina. I believe he's from North Carolina. It's where he played college ball. I think it's where he met his wife. Maybe if they want to go back there. For Rozier.
Well, you can't trade Rozier.
No, you can't. And to me, I don't get the value. I don't get why Charlotte would want him, having just spent $20 million on Rozier. That makes no sense to me
at all. Charlotte wants him because Charlotte needs to fill the damn seats. I mean,
do you think
it's
a 34-year-old point guard? Do you think a 34-year-old point guard is going to fill the seats
more than Terry Rozier and Dwayne Bacon?
Hey.
I mean, Seth. Right now, their starting five is Cody Zeller, Terry Rozier, Nicholas Batum, P.J. Washington, and Malik Monk.
Oh, it's horrendous. I'm not disputing.
They get rid of three. They get rid of 2 years of Batum. Let's get rid of some bad contracts. So 2 years of Batum, and I'm looking for the other bad. They had one other bad contract. So 2 years of Cody Zeller at $14 million. So they got rid of 2 years of Batum and 2 years of Zeller. They are replacing it with 4 years of Paul. I understand. It's still 4 years of Paul. And 1 year of Patrick Patterson. So they're out after 1 year of Patterson. And they make that trade, and that trade is successful. And if you're Oklahoma City, you're going to have to throw in a first-round pick. You absolutely have to. So if you throw in the unprotected Miami pick for next year, I think it's for next year, maybe for the year after, and you're Charlotte, And you're building for the future because you have to build for the future because you just saw what they have. And Seth, they are that team is capped out.
I know.
And they won't pay the luxury tax because it's Michael Jordan. So, look, I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, and it's now going on 25 minutes where Chris Paul is going to land. But I think this is the solution here.
So you trade Batum, Marvin Williams, or Batum and Kid Gilchrist?
So I got – no. So I got Batum and Cody Zeller, okay? So both on two-year contracts. Now, here's the piece de resistance. Oklahoma City is $3.5 million over the tax. With this deal, they lose $3.8 million. So they fall under the tax. They shed 4 years of Paul for 2 years of these guys. So in 2 years, these guys are gone. They don't have to worry about it. They could even stretch out Zeller right now if they want to, or Batum right now if they wanted to. They could stretch both of them, get them off the cap. And stretching doesn't really help when you're rebuilding.
I was just going to say.
Just eat it. Right, or you just eat it. But the fact is, they would have to pay $38 million for Paul. They're paying $39 million for Batum and Zeller.
So if they're paying – wait a minute. If they owe if they're $3.8 million over the cap, and they're paying Paul $38 million, and they're paying Batum and Zeller $39 million, how does this put them under the cap?
Because you're adding Patrick Patterson's $5 million.
Oh, okay. That I didn't know. Okay.
So every trade has to be within 125% if you make a trade. So you're adding that extra 25% to get yourselves under the cap, under the tax. So so if you're adding a first-round pick, which I think you have to anyway, because – there's no way this trade goes without a first-round pick. You're adding a first-round pick to save yourself not only the repeater tax, but that $3 million for Oklahoma City based on the last 3 years is almost $20 million. I think this is a no-brainer if Paul's okay with it. Quite frankly, I don't care if he's okay with it. I make the trade. But, okay, so we've done enough on this. We spent, it's funny. Every year during football season, we say we're not going to talk football all the time. And we talk football a lot. And then we get to the off season of football, and we say we're not going to talk football all the time. So we talk basketball all the time. It seems like we're just it's a good problem to have, given that we do this once a week and we have something to talk about. But I can't wait till the next trade because we'll talk about something else and where the next guy goes and whose sneakers are going to be used best. But, okay, so something else that happened on Sunday was a tennis match that lasted forever. Seth, forever. I mean, seriously. I mean, we talk every year about the best ever and then the best ever and then the best ever. And we talk about Federer being the best ever. First of all, there were two people that played on Saturday and Sunday that lost. My first question is, Serena loses on Saturday, Federer loses on Sunday. Is this the last time we see them in a Wimbledon final?
No. Federer still the problem. One of the two best cross court players in the world, as proven by the way he lost to Djokovic. If Serena can be motivated more run, then I wouldn't see why not. I think she can make another run. But that is her call.
I don't know if it's you or me, but if you're moving around, I'm not hearing you.
Sorry. If Serena is motivated, she can very well make a championship. Federer, I see no reason, based on he's always been a bit rejuvenated, as shown by his play against Nadal, which was phenomenal. And he was brilliant against Djokovic. He very well could have won that match. Obviously, he had two match points.
Okay, so
he would have
Seth, if you're moving around, we're hearing every other word again. So either stay still or go to a spot.
Okay. I'm sitting in the spot.
Okay, great.
So if you're...
So...
Okay.
So explain to me... Explain to me how this tiebreaker thing works in Wimbledon. Because I was watching it online. I did not watch the match, although in retrospect, I probably want to right now. And it seemed like it just went on and on and on and on. And when I played tennis way back when I stunk, but made you run around for a long time, I remember that there were lots and lots of tiebreakers, and then you had a tiebreaker, and the game eventually ended because you had a tiebreaker.
Okay.
What's different about Wimbledon these days that there are no tiebreakers?
Well, there are. What there hasn't been is tiebreakers in the fifth set. And they decided after, I think it was last year's, now this was brought up several years ago with the John Isner, Nicholas Mahut game, which apparently somehow remembers, although she wasn't even a twinkle at that point. And then last year, Kevin Anderson, I think in Isner, I think was 26-24 in the fifth set. So what they decided to do, and I think it's absolutely correct, is to avoid a fifth set that could go on for, well, let's be honest, days. They limited it instead of having a 6-6 tiebreaker, because they don't like having, to a degree, tennis purists almost equated to penalty kicks in soccer, ending a match in a tiebreaker. Because it's really just it's just the expedition. I'm not saying I agree, because I don't, but you don't see fifth set tiebreakers in the majors. So they decided, instead of having it 6-6, they set it at 12-12. And go figure, the first year that was enforced in the men's final, it went to 12-12.
Okay. I mean, look, whatever the rules are, they are, right? I mean, as long as both parties knew, and from what I understood, Djokovic didn't even remember that these were the rules. So, or at least
he knew it was in play. He didn't know. It was kind of like Donovan McNabb in the tie. He knew at a certain point it happened. He didn't know when exactly it was.
Okay, fair enough. So, overall, tennis got a little bit of a jolt with these two wins. But let me ask you this. True or false? The next American woman in a major will be Serena Williams.
In a major final?
Major final, yes.
I think that's the wrong question.
Okay.
Probably, because I think she could very well make the U.S. Open final. I think the more accurate question is, in the next three American finalists, will them be a man? And the answer is no.
Wait, what?
The women.
Say that again.
You have the next three people, next three Americans to make a major final. Will any of them be a man?
Yeah.
Be a man. And the answer is no.
Okay.
Next five.
Okay, so who will they be?
They'll probably be Sloan Stephens. They'll probably be Madison, who won the U.S. a couple years ago. They'll probably be Madison Keys, who's gone to who went to the final, get Sloan Stephens. You'll probably see Serena. You know, we don't know if the Coco Gauff, who was a 15-year-old who made such a cheer, whether she becomes a star, whether she becomes a weeded. I don't remember the reference. Was up the 15-year-old before Coco Gauff. No, on the men's side, just nothing.
Okay. If you're moving around again, we're not hearing you.
Okay. On the women's side, it is a complete open game. With Serena a step back, now Simona Halep is a top player in the world, and she won her first major. But in Naomi Osaka, who's number two in the world, who's a Japanese woman who beat Serena last year at the U.S. Open. But for all intents and purposes, it is wide open in the women's game. In the men's game, it's almost ridiculous that in the last 10 years, there is nothing has changed. Except Andy Murray kind of was in the Big Four for a few years and then took a step, then because of injury, kind of took a massive step back. It's Djokovic, it's Federer, it's Nadal, and then it's everybody else. Realistically, until it's not, which could be another couple of years. So, the U.S. women's side, fine. On the men's side, not pretty.
Well, that was going to be my next question. The next American man in a major final will be a person that is currently playing or a person that is not currently playing.
I'm going to go with Francis Tiafoe, who is, I don't know if you ever read the story. It's pretty great. He was, his parents were Haitian immigrants, and he was a groundskeeper. I think he was a groundskeeper at a country club in Maryland right by the border, and he learned to play from there. He's about 18 or 19. He has huge upside, but we've had a lot of Americans who've had big upside and just haven't hit that level. But he was under 18, number one in the world. You know, he's the best hope. He's probably about 19 or 20 right now. He's probably the best hope they have. But, you know, it's not something that I'm really holding my breath on.
Okay, one more question, and then we'll shoot off from tennis. An American male will win a major before Djokovic retires. True or false?
True, because Djokovic strikes.
How do you like that one? How do you like that one? That's a good one. I like
that's
that.
Not,
yeah.
That's pretty much Djokovic strikes me as the guy who will play until he is dragged off the court.
Right.
So that gives me probably, I believe, 32. So that gives me 6 or 7 years. I think he'll be a guy who plays at least 38, 39. And
okay.
Yeah, I'll say one will make the final before then. I can see that by the law of averages. They haven't had an American in a major final, I don't think, since Roddick, which is 06, 08. So another 5, 6, 7 years, probably somebody will be due, or someone we've never heard of, who's 15, 16 years old, who's playing in the under 18 in the boys stuff. Will be 21, 22. I'll say in the next 6 or 7 years, someone will make it.
Okay. Well, that leads me to a follow-up question. Why is tennis so successful for the women and not for the men in the U.S.?
I think, well, first of all, I think there's a couple things. Number one, I think the men have more options of sports to play. It's not a cool sport. But you see them playing basketball or football or baseball. Soccer's cooler. Hockey's cooler. Golf is probably cooler, although God knows how.
Did you just say soccer is cool? Wow. Okay.
Cooler than tennis. Cooler than tennis. Have you watched what happened with the World Cup?
All right. Fair enough.
I think from a women's perspective, for sports that you can go professional in and make a real career out of, basketball, but soccer you can barely make a career out of. So you're really looking at basketball, tennis, golf. So I think more of the athletes go. I also think that when you had Sampras and Agassi and Todd Martin and Michael Chang, 10 years before that, you had Americans who inspired McEnroe, who, whether you liked him or not, was incredibly charismatic to root for and to follow. And you had Jimmy Connors, who was charismatic. Sampras was not charismatic. You know, Agassi was, but Agassi was so all over the place over his career, it's a little bit harder. And the other guys just weren't either. People didn't really up aspiring to be different. But, I mean, think about, especially for African-American athletes, for African-American tennis players, you had the ultimate in someone to reach for, someone to idolize, someone to admire in Williams sisters. From both a, you know, from an athletic standpoint, Serena's the greatest women's player of all, could be the greatest women athlete of all time. Venus goes down probably the top 10 to 15 women's player of all time. Serena could go down as a top player of all time, men or women. So you had 20-year-olds, people who have talked about Madison Keys, Sloane Stephens, you know, Bethany Sands, you know, Kiki Vandeweghe's daughter, Coco Vandeweghe. You know, all these players who had American tennis players to aspire towards on the female side. The men, after the Sampras Agassi, there was a huge drop-off other than Roddick. You know, Marty Fish had one or two good years. Taylor Fritz had a run here and there. Tyler Dent. But nothing ever materialized. You know, as great as Roddick was, he won one Grand Slam. Now, he was the second-best player in the world probably at a lot of that time behind Federer. He's certainly the second-best player in the world on grass. But you know, the follow-up never materialized.
Okay. All right, that's fair. So let's move on to baseball, because we had the Midsummer Classic last week. Then we had Tyler Skaggs and everything that happened with him. And now we're into the dog days of summer, which Seth loves about baseball in August and coming up soon, and the fact that he's in for the home stretch. And now the way I view baseball is I love this long summer, and Seth is like, give me another month and then I'll start caring. How many baseball games have you watched besides the one that was last night? Last night doesn't count.
You talking about an entire game?
Yes.
The entire game?
Yeah.
None. No. I watch for a couple
not
of games
one
at a time here and there. No, not an entire game.
Okay.
Good morning.
Okay. And how many games do you think you've turned on at any one point? Is it under 10?
No, probably more than 10. No, I'll put on for a game or two at a time.
And that's fair.
Until we hit August or September, not that interesting to me.
Okay. Okay, so tell me about last night. You took Jake to his first game.
Jake did go to his first game for the Yankees, Devil Rays. And a buddy of mine who you know very well, Mike Nirenberg, hooked us up. We were sitting in practice. And we went early and went to the batting practice. And Jake got a ball. Jake, do you remember getting a ball? Yeah. He's watching PJ Masks, so he's a little distracted. And we were going to get T-shirts, and Mickey Rivers was signing things. So we took the ball to be signed, and Mickey couldn't have been nicer. He signed the ball and then offered to sign a picture for Jake. Now, of course, 3/4 of the people listening to this show don't know who Mickey Rivers is, let alone my 2-year-old son. But
it's fair.
So my first thought was, oh God, he's going to give us a picture and we're going to have to pay $20 for this, which was not really high on my priority list. But Mickey kind of said, look, you know, I'd rather give it to a 3-year-old who can look me up on Google than a 45-year-old guy. So I got a good laugh out of that. So we now have a picture in Boston, Mickey Rivers, made out to Jake. And then he sat through 6 innings of Yankees-Devils Rays game. And he would have gone longer. I don't think Carly could go much longer. We had a good time. And he wants to go back again.
Well, I'd like to say 2 things. First of all, Jake will look up Mickey Rivers in about 5 years and figure out who he is. And second of all, I am happy to note that anybody that did not watch last night's game, that the Yankees lost due to the exploits of an ex-Met, Travis Darnell. So I was very happy to see that. Unfortunate for Seth, unfortunate for me, that the Yankees lost in Jake's first game. And I'll be happy to remind Jake when he starts looking up Mickey Rivers that he lost his first game. Not a problem. That's all on our
own. Of course, but then as a Yankee fan, we do have to remind you that, you know, Travis Darnell was a big prospect that you traded for. And as with most of your prospects, nothing. All he was met.
Oh, you see, and I thought you were going to go a different way, which says, as a Yankee fan, we have to remind you that we're the Yankees and you're the Mets, and that should be enough.
That's
a given. Okay, so we're in August. There have been a couple of changes to Major League Baseball over the last couple of years. First, there was the pitching clock between the innings, which I think has sped up the game a little bit, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And then this year, they changed the trading deadline. So normally there we would have 2 trading deadlines. One would be in July, which would be everybody's a free-for-all, which generally had like 2 or 3 significant trades. But then there'd be the August 31st waiver deadline. And what would happen in the August 31st waiver deadline is that the teams that had really, really expensive players would put them through waivers in hopes that somebody would either take them or make a trade. And one of the biggest examples of this was Randy Myers, this is like 2 decades ago now, where San Diego put in a waiver claim and all of a sudden had a $6 million pitcher that they never wanted. So this year, Rob Manfred and the Players Association decided that there would only be 1 trade deadline. I'm not really sure if that is going to make more trades happen on July 31st, but I will tell you there will be better trades on July 21st and probably more explosive trades on July 21st. Including seeing Madison Baumgartner, and that's next week, ladies and gentlemen. That's a week and a half away. So we will be having our trade deadline preview next week. But Seth, if you were Rob Manfred and you had carte blanche to do whatever you wanted with Major League Baseball and could make 1 rule that would be changing, what would that rule be?
I don't know, to be perfectly honest. He brought this up yesterday. And here's the problem. I don't want to go with the DH rule because that's too easy. I don't. You know, we've kind of dealt with the pitching coach can only go out once during during an inning or something along those. There's been so many of these like little rules. The reality is, I don't know what exactly because I really haven't had a chance to think about it. To me, it's almost from a marketing perspective. Baseball as a sport is completely stagnated from a popularity standpoint, at best. It is far behind basketball and football from popularity. It is not a young game. It is not well marketed in the U.S. for U.S. players. We've talked about his frustration with Mike Trout, who's the best player and seems to be the Willie Mays of our generation and has no interest really in marketing himself, which is the antithesis of a major other sport of a lot of the superstars in other sports, especially basketball and football. It's not per se a rule, is I would figure out the best way to market some of the international players to gain U.S. popularity. A Ronald Acuna Jr., a Juan Soto, guys like that. Because I don't see how you're going to have any growth at this point the way without some of these star players being marketed. And I realize it's kind of the antithesis or being marketed better or marketed correctly. I'm not sure what the right verbiage is. Because right now, this is a sport that is just getting old and stagnant. And you can move up the speed clock, you can move up the pitch clock, and you can do whatever you want to do. And look, watching Pedro Guerrero Jr. and Jock Peterson in the home run contest was great. But until you can figure the only way I can see this growing, see it kind of being reignited, is that the individuals being marketed correctly and growth based on that. And until that happens, there's no rule that's going to increase the popularity of baseball.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, first of all, Seth did not mean Pedro Guerrero Jr. He meant Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Touche.
That's okay, Seth. Just another 1980s reference. We got you. But I get your point. But here's mine when it comes to that. And you say baseball is not growing. And I get that. Does it have to grow? Is it okay where it is? Because when you went to the park last night, now last night is a weekday night in July. School is out. I would say the majority of the people there were probably kids.
No?
Okay, because when I went to SunTrust Stadium a couple of weeks back, I went on a Tuesday night, and I would say 75% of the stadium was filled. Okay. But of that 75% of the stadium filled, 50% were kids. So that means 75% of the 75% were kids. And if there are kids that are coming to the game, there are kids that are going to be baseball fans. You don't need to grow. You just need to stay.
You need to change your demographic.
You need to be where you are. Well, and that's what the kids are for. You're changing the demographic to the point that you may not grow anymore. But if you said I had 50 cents and in 10 years I had 50 cents, that's okay. I don't think baseball needs to get to 60 cents. I think they're okay with staying at 50. I think they have enough.
You think a business, and make no bones about it, it's a business, it would be comfortable with no growth over 10 years.
But growth is not necessarily measured in people at the ballpark. That's my take.
Do you think if there is stagnation at the for attendance purposes, that ESPN or Fox or whoever who has the baseball contracts are going to continue to pay more and more money when there's no more growth, when a game is not increasing from a popularity standpoint, from a growth standpoint?
That's a good point. Okay, I'll take that under advisement. Go with that.
Thanks.
No, look, I don't have any retort to it. I'm happy to say, you know what? That's a good point. And I think you're gonna have. I get that Fox may not pay that much, but I think there will be other avenues. I really do. Okay, so let me get to my point before we go into our last five, and we do have our final five coming. If I'm going to make one change, I want to outlaw I want to get it out. I'm sick
Dude,
and tired of it.
You say this every week.
Yes, but here's the thing. I'm okay with it in football. I am. I've said that. I just don't like it in certain circumstances. I want nothing to do with it in baseball. Nothing. I don't want robots in the. Okay, let me make another one. Right now they are experimenting in the Atlantic League with robots behind home plate.
Yep.
Where basically the strike zone based on a artificial intelligence says what's a ball and a strike. I will tell you right now, if that comes to Major League Baseball, you will have lost a fan. I have no desire for that. I can't even fathom that. If that's the case, you might as well bring in the robot baseball that we used to play in arcade games. Because that's what you're getting to. No thank you. Absolutely not. No thank you. And if you want to have a trading deadline, Rob Manfred, make it August 15th. Make one. I get that you want to start the trading process early, but what's going to happen after July 31st when teams can't either make trades or are just dumping or just losing it? They're just losing on purpose. I think that's going to happen. I think that's going to happen a lot, that people are just going to tank. Okay. We got 3 minutes left. Seth, go.
Usually, it seems recently Sean is the one to bring up athletes, dying before their time. Another one did on this past weekend, Pernell Whitaker, who was the number one boxer in the world in between the Hearns, Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard era, Tyson. Oh, Tyson wasn't a fighter in the late '80s, and the Roy Jones of the mid '90s. Pernell, everybody, he went anywhere in got jogged on quite a few fights, including against Julio Cesar Chavez. Unequivocally the best fighter in the world for a couple years, and would have given any fight, and even the boxing historians who are loath to give any recent fighters credit or how they would do the olden times. Pernell Whitaker was the rare exception where he would have fit in any era and been extraordinarily successful. Died at, I think, age 55, got hit by a car, if I heard it correctly, in Virginia. And, just a real true shame, and a great, great boxer. Condolences to his family.
Well, that's precisely what I was going to talk about, believe it or not, that Pernell Whitaker and Sweet Pea, and I believe Pernell Whitaker was in the Olympics. And I believe that was the first time that I ever remember him being in the... Was it 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles that he was in?
That amazing 84 team that had it won about 7 gold medals. It was an incredible boxing team.
Do I get some props for actually remembering that he was a 1984 Olympian? I am very impressed.
I'll give you love for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So next week we'll talk about the NBA and we'll see what if you are Adam Silver. What rule would you like to change? I'm giving Seth an entire week to come up with something rather than We'd like to market Americans. So please come bearing your gifts, and we will talk more about that next week along with our trade deadline right before I leave to go to Cheerio London. So for Seth Kamen, Palmer, and of course, for Kamen, BlackSports.com Radio, talk to you next week. Hopefully we're Chris Paul is ready.
Have a good one.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.